الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين أسأل الله أن يوفقنا لما يحبه ويرضاه وأن يحسن لنا الختام بجاه النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قبل أن نبدأ أريد أن تنبيه إلى شيء ذكر لي أنه في الحصة الماضية عندما ذكرت الحديث قلت وكل موفق لما خلق له والحديث ليس هكذا وكل ميسر لما خلق له فإن كان يعني لو غيرتم اللفظ أصلحتم اللفظ وكل ميسر لما خلق له. In the past session I was told that I said that the hadith is وكل موفق لما خلق له. This is not the terms of the hadith. These are not the terms of the hadith. The hadith is كُلٌّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. So please, if you wrote instead of muwaffaq, write muyassar. كنا في الحصة الماضية قد ذكرنا أن المعتزلة شذوا عن أهل السنة فقالوا إن العبد يخلق أفعاله. In the past session we mentioned that المعتزلة went astray by saying that the slave creates his or her own deeds. وذكرنا أن هذا يخالف نصوص القرآن ونصوص الحديث. We mentioned that this issue is against the texts of Al-Quran and the texts of the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام وأن هذا يخالف ما قاله الصحابة والتابعون وتبع الأتباع. And that this goes against what the companions said, what the followers said, and what the followers of the followers said. والعقل أيضا يشهد على فساد هذه المقالة من نواحي من أكثر من ناحية. Moreover, from different aspects, the sound mind tells us that this is a false statement, this is a false belief. The Mu'tazila's belief is a false one. من ذلك أننا نعرف أن العالم أعيان وأعراض. العالم أحجام وصفات للأحجام. We all know that the universe is formed of volumes and attributes of these volumes. ومعروف أن الحجم الواحد يكون له صفات كثيرة. It is known that every volume would have many attributes. الجسم الواحد الإنسان الواحد يتكلم بكلام كثير يتحرك حركات كثيرة يفكر بأشياء كثيرة يرى أشياء كثيرة يسمع أشياء كثيرة. هذا أكثر هو واحد لكن الأعراض الصفات التي تقوم به الأعمال التي يعملها هذا الحجم الواحد شيء كثير جدا. For example, a human being sees a lot of things, hears a lot of things, makes a lot of movements, does a lot of deeds, says a lot of statements. So this one volume does a lot of different deeds. المعتزلة يزعمون أن الله خالق الأجسام أما الأعمال الإرادية فالعبد يخلقها. The Mu'tazila claim that Allah only creates the bodies. As for the deeds performed by these bodies, acquired by these bodies, are created by these bodies. حتى إنهم يقولون الكلب يخلق فعله والبقة والبعوضة تخلق فعلها. To the point that they claim that the dog creates its deed and the mosquito creates its moves, etc. فعلى مقتضى كلامهم ما يجر إليه كلامهم أن يكون خلق غير الله أكثر من خلق الله. So according to their statement entails that the creations of other than Allah are more than the creations of Allah تبارك وتعالى. وهذا ظاهر الفساد. This is something very clear to be false. لذلك قال بعض العلماء المجوس أقرب حالا من المعتزلة. يعني المجوس أقل ضلالا من المعتزلة. المجوس يعتقدون بوجود خالقين، خالق للخير وخالق للشر. أما المعتزلة يعتقدون بوجود خالقين كثيرين وأن خلقهم ما يخلقه هؤلاء الخالقون أكثر من خلق الله. This is why some of the scholars said that the Magus, the misguidance of the Magus is less than the misguidance of the Mu'tazila. Both are misguided, but the misguidance of the Magus is less than the misguidance of the Mu'tazila. They said because the Magus, the fire worshippers, believe that there are two creators, one who creates good and the other who creates the evil acts. As for the Mu'tazila, they believe that there are many creators other than Allah, and that these creators create more than what Allah creates. وَالْعِيَازُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. وَلِأَجْلِ عَقِيدَتِهِمْ هَذِهِ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْقَدَرِيَّةُ مَجُوسُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. And this is why the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said in the hadith, الْقَدَرِيَّةُ مَجُوسُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. هذا الحديث رواه البيهقي. This hadith is narrated by البيهقي. ومعناه أن نفاة القدر، القدرية يعني الذين يقولون لا قدر، هم مثل المجوس، يشبهون المجوس. نفاة القدر في هذه الأمة مثل المجوس، لأنهم يزعمون وجود أكثر من خالق، أكثر كما أن المجوس يزعمون وجود أكثر من خالق. This hadith means that those who deny al-qadr are similar in this nation That is, among those who claim to be Muslims following Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are like the mages, like the fire worshippers. Because the mages claim that there is more than one creator. And these people claim that there is more than one creator. وفي بعض روايات هذا الحديث لكل أمة مجوس ومجوس هذه الأمة الذين يقولون لا قدر. In one of the narrations of this hadith, or let me say, one of the narrations of this hadith says, لكل أمة مجوس ومجوس هذه الأمة الذين يقولون لا قدر. Which means, in every nation there was mages. That is, people who have a creed similar to the creed of the mages. And the mages of this nation are the ones who deny al-qadr. وهذا الحديث صحيح. This is a صحيح حديث. بلغ رتبة الحديث المشهور. It attained the level of a hadith, of a famous hadith. Famous صحيح حديث. مشهور. وما كان في هذه الرتبة من الأحاديث يحتج به في العقيدة بالإجماع. And the hadith, the sahih hadith that reaches this level can be taken as a proof in the matters of al-aqidah by consensus. ولذلك أورده الإمام أبو حنيفة في بعض تصانيفه واحتج به. This is why al-Imam Abu Hanifa mentioned this hadith in some of his booklets that he authored, and he took it as a proof. أهل السنة فريقان في الاحتجاج في مسألة الاحتجاج بالأحاديث في العقيدة. فريقان. Pertaining the matter of taking the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as a proof in the area of al-aqidah, Ahlul Sunnah have two opinions about this issue. قسم منهم قالوا أمر العقيدة يحتاج فيه إلى مزيد احتياط لأنه يبنى على اليقين لا على الظن، فلذلك لا يحتج بالحديث في أمر العقيدة إلا إذا بلغ رتبة المشهور. Some, a part of أهل السنة said, the issue of the creed has to be based on certainty, not on matters that are judged most likely to be this or that. The matters of the creed has to be based on matters of certainty. This is why they said, we do not take a hadith as a proof in the matters of the creed until it reaches the level of mashhur. ومن جملة هؤلاء الإمام أبو حنيفة. الإمام أبو حنيفة على هذا. And among these scholars is الإمام أبو حنيفة. الإمام أبو حنيفة did not take a hadith as a proof in the matters of the creed except if it reached the level of مشهور. ومن أهل السنة من قال لو كان الحديث إذا كان الحديث صحيحا ولم يصل إلى مرتبة المشهور يحتج به في العقيدة إن لم يكن هناك خلاف في ثقة رواته ولا في صحته إذا قام الإجماع على توثيق رواته وليس هناك خلاف في صحته. Others among أهل السنة said, even if the hadith did not reach the level of مشهور, of famous, being famous, if it is صحيح without difference in opinions about that, if all the narrators are judged in its chain, are judged to be trustworthy, upright Muslims, without any difference in opinions about that, if all of them are judged to be accurate in what they transmit, upright and trustworthy, with no difference in opinions about this issue, then such hadith can be taken as a proof in the matters of the creed also. أما إذا كان الحديث فيه اختلاف هل هو صحيح أو لا بين حفاظ الحديث أو أحد رواته فيه خلاف هل هو ثقة أو لا فلا يحتج به في العقيدة. Now if there is a hadith that in its chain of narrators has a narrator about which there is a difference in opinions among the scholars, the Muslim scholars of hadith, is he trustworthy or not? Is he accurate or not? If there is difference in opinions about him, one, only one, if it's only one, then this hadith cannot be taken as a proof in the matters of the creed. And by the way, if you check about the misguided factions, you will notice that they rely a lot on hadith which are not sahih by consensus. That there are difference in opinions about the narrators. Anyway, so Ahl Sunnah have these two opinions. غالباً الماتريدية رأيهم مثل رأي أبي حنيفة رضي الله عنه في هذه المسألة. الأشاعرة كثير منهم أخذوا بالرأي الثاني. The Maturidis have the same, they followed the same opinion that Imam Abu Hanifa رضي الله عنه followed. As for most of the Ash'aris, they followed the other opinion. هذا لا ضرر فيه وهذا لا ضرر فيه. There is no harm in following this one or that one. الضرر هو الخروج عن منهج أهل السنة. What harms is to go astray from the route of أهل السنة. الله ينصرهم. قال الطحاوي رحمه الله ولم يكلفهم الله تعالى إلا ما يطيقون ولا يطيقون إلا ما كلفهم. The author said, Allah Ta'ala has not ordered the slaves except with that which they can do. And they must not be obligated by others to do except what Allah ordered them to do. Allah Ta'ala لم يكلف المكلفين إلا ما يطيقون. هذا سبق أن شرحنا. هذا معنى لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. We already explained the first statement of the Tahawiz saying Allah Ta'ala has not ordered the slaves except with that which they can do. قلنا هذه هي الاستطاعة التي هي سلامة الآلات التي تكون قبل الفعل. When we talked about the ability that exists before the deed, doing the deed. So this is the same thing. قال ولا يطيقون إلا ما كلفهم يعني لا يطلب لا يلزمون أن يفعلوا إلا ما كان لازما لهم في شرع الله تعالى. لا يلزمون أن يفعلوا ما لم يجعله الله تعالى واجبا عليهم. The other sentence means, the other part means that it is not, we do not ask the people, we do not obligate the people to do anything that Allah did not make it an obligation upon them. هذه العبارة بعض الناس يقرأها على غير وجهها بالعربية. بعض الناس يقرؤونها هكذا يقولون ولم يكلفهم الله تعالى إلا ما يطيقون ولا يطيقون إلا ما كلفهم. هذا خطأ. قراءتها بهذه الطريقة باللغة العربية خطأ. لا تقل ولا يطيقون إلا ما كلفهم، قل ولا يطيقون إلا ما كلفهم، لأن معنى لا يطيقون إلا ما كلفهم ليسوا قادرين أن يفعلوا إلا ما أمرهم الله به، وهذا خلاف الحقيقة خلاف الواقع. كم من العباد يعصون الله، إذن هم قادرون أن يفعلوا غير ما أمرهم الله به، فلا يصح أن تقرأ العبارة ولا يطيقون إلا ما كلفهم، إنما القراءة الصحيحة ولا يطيقون إلا ما كلفهم، أي لا يطلب منهم، لا يلزمون أن يفعلوا إلا ما جعل الله لازما عليهم فعله. هذه هي القراءة الصحيحة. You understood, Mahek, or no? It's something related to the Arabic language, how to read it in Arabic. So I'm not going to translate it. Just know that some people make a mistake while reading this text. And instead of saying, وَلَا يُطَيَّقُونَ إِلَّا مَا كَلَّفَهُمْ, they say, وَلَا يُطِيقُونَ إِلَّا مَا كَلَّفَهُمْ. And although both are written the same way, but reading it in the false manner changes the meaning. So one should be careful here. If he is reading this text in Arabic, to say لا يطيقون إلا ما كلفهم, and not to say لا يطيقون إلا ما كلفهم. أن يفعلوا, هذا معنى لا يطيقون. هذا هو. هذا تأويله. هذا معناه. قال رحمه الله وهو تفسير لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله، نقول لا حيلة لأحد ولا حركة لأحد ولا تحول لأحد عن معصية الله إلا بمعونة الله، ولا قوة لأحد على إقامة طاعة الله والثبات عليها إلا بتوفيق الله. The author said, this is the explanation of لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. We say, no one has the ability to be artful, to move or to shift away from disobeying Allah except with the help of Allah. And no one has the strength to perform obedience to Allah and stay firm to it except with the tawfiq of Allah. وهذا التفسير الذي ذكره الطحاوي للا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله مأخوذ من حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This explanation of لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله that الطحاوي mentioned is taken from a hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. مرة كان أحد الصحابة مع النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، عبد الله بن مسعود كان مع النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، فقال لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله، فقال له النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: تعرف معناها؟ هل تعرف معنى الذي قلته؟ فقال ابن مسعود: الله ورسوله أعلم. فقال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: لا حول عن معصية الله إلا بعصمة الله، ولا قوة على طاعة الله إلا بعون الله. هكذا فسر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله، ومن تفسيره أخذ الطحاوي كلامه، كلام الطحاوي بمعنى كلام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهذا الحديث رواه البزار وغيره. الطحاوي explained this statement لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله relying on the hadith narrated by al-Bazzar and others from the companion Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. This companion once said لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله in the presence of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, do you know what it means? Ibn Mas'ud said, Allah and His Prophet know best. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, لا حول عن معصية الله إلا بعصمة الله ولا قوة على طاعة الله إلا بعون الله. Which means, no one can avoid disobeying Allah تبارك وتعالى except with the protection of Allah تبارك وتعالى, and no one has the ability to obey Allah تبارك وتعالى except with the help of Allah عز وجل. So al-Tahawi, as you can see, his explanation has the same meaning as it is mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. لكن لو استعمل عبارة إلا بعصمة الله، بدل أن يقول إلا بمعونة الله لكان أحسن، لأن هذه هي العبارة التي جاءت في حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Had he used the term عصمه, which means protection, instead of معونه, which is help, that would be better, because this is the term used in the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وكما قلنا هذه هي حقيقة العبودية. And as we said, this is the true meaning of being a slave of Allah تبارك وتعالى. أن يكون العبد مفتقرا في كل لحظة إلى عصمة الله ليجتنب المعصية وإلى عون الله ليفعل الطاعة. For one to be in need in each moment to Allah تبارك وتعالى, to the protection of Allah تبارك وتعالى, to avoid sinning, and to the help of Allah تبارك وتعالى to do the good deeds. ولأجل ما تحوي هذه الكلمة من المعاني سماها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كنزا من كنوز الجنة. And because of these deep meanings carried by this statement, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام called this statement a treasure among the treasures of paradise. قال لأبي موسى الأشعري, ألا أدلك على كلمة هي كنز من كنوز الجنة. Once he addressed a companion called Abu Musa al-Ash'ari by saying, أَلَا أَدُلُّكَ عَلَىٰ كَنْزٍ مِّن كُنُوزِ الْجَنَّةِ. Don't you want me to show you a treasure among the treasures of paradise? Abu Musa قال, بَلَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Abu Musa answered, of course I want. فقال له النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام responded, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. هذا الحديث رواه الإمام أحمد في مسنده. This hadith is narrated by الإمام أحمد in his book المسند. وأجمعت الأمة على كون هذه الكلمة أصلا من أصول العقيدة. The nation agreed all together that this statement is one of the basis of the creed. وهي ومعناها يشبه معنى قول الله تعالى, وما تشاءون إلا أن يشاء الله رب العالمين. Its meaning is similar to the meaning of the verse of Al-Quran, the 29th verse of Surah At-Takwir, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, which means you only will what Allah تبارك وتعالى willed for you. معناه لا يحصل من العبد إلا ما شاء الله له وقدر, which means nothing occurs from the slave except what Allah willed for him and what Allah تبارك وتعالى decreed. ويشبه معناها قول الله تبارك وتعالى, ولو أننا نزلنا إليهم الملائكة وكلمهم الموتى وحشرنا عليهم كل شيء قبلا ما كانوا ليؤمنوا إلا أن يشاء الله. And this meaning, this معناه لو أن الله تبارك وتعالى نزل الملائكة على الكفار فرآهم، ولو أن الموتى كلموا الكفار، ولو رأى الكافر كل آية لا يؤمن إلا إذا شاء الله له في الأزل أن يؤمن. من لم يشأ الله له أن يؤمن لا يؤمن مهما رأى من الآيات. This verse, the meaning of لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله is similar also to the meaning of the 111th verse of Surah Al-An'am. ولو أننا نزلنا إليهم الملائكة وكلمهم الموتى ولو أننا نزلنا إليهم الملائكة وكلمهم الموتى وحشرنا عليهم كل شيء قبلا ما كانوا ليؤمنوا إلا أن يشاء الله. Which means, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes the angels descend and talk to the blasphemers, and if the dead people come out from their graves and talk to them, and if Allah make them see many miracles and unusual things, they would not believe except if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala willed for them eternally to believe. وهذا واقع, and this is something يعني واقع الحال يؤيد هذا, ما نراه وما رآه الناس يؤيد هذا, ما حصل قبل يؤيد هذا. Many things that occurred coincide with this. بعض الكفار أو بعض الصحابة رأى الملائكة بعينه, رآهم يقاتلون مع المسلمين في معركة بدر, وهو كان كافرا ولم يؤمن وقتها إلا بعد 7 سنين. One of the companions at the battle of Badr saw with his eyes the angels fighting with the Muslims, and still he did not believe at that time. Except after 7 years, he did not embrace Al-Islam except after 7 years. مرة جاء رجل ضعيف ما له عشيرة إلى مكة, فواحد تعامل مع شخص بمعاملة بيع وشراء. هذا الرجل تعامل مع أبي جهل بمعاملة بيع وشراء. أبو جهل ما أراد أن يعطيه ما له. هذا الرجل سأل في مكة, من يعينني حتى أحصل مالي؟ فبعض الكفار أراد الاستهزاء بالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, قال محمد, اذهب إلى محمد هو يأتيك يحصل لك مالك, لأنهم كانوا يعرفون شدة عداوة أبي جهل لسيدنا محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام. الرجل لا يعرف, غريب, ذهب إلى النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, قال له قصتي كذا وكذا. قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, نعم, ثم مشى معه إلى بيت أبي جهل، دق الباب، فتح الباب، ظهر أبو جهل. قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: أعطي هذا الرجل ماله. أبو جهل قال: نعم. ذهب، دخل، أتى بماله فأعطاه. أولئك الكفار يرون، يتعجبون، ما هذا؟ شيء عجيب. جاءوا إلى أبي جهل قالوا: كيف فعلت؟ نحن قلنا ما تعطيه. قال: كان معه فحل من الإبل كبير ما رأيت مثله قط، لو أنني رفضت لأكلني، ومع ذلك لم يؤمن. Abu Jahl, once a person, a weak person, who came to Mecca, and he had a certain dealing with Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl did not pay him his money. This man, and Abu Jahl was a powerful person in Mecca. This man started to ask the people there, who would help me to get my money from Abu Jahl? Some blasphemers who wanted to mock the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام told him, go to Muhammad, he will do that. Because they knew how much Abu Jahl hated the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. This man was a strange person, he didn't know what's going on. He was a stranger. He didn't know what's going on. He went to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and told him, my story is such and such, and I was told to come to you, you can help me. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said yes. He went with him to Abu Jahl. They knocked the door. Abu Jahl opened, and when he showed, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام told him, give this man his money. Abu Jahl said, yes, I will. He went, he bought the money and gave it to him. The blasphemers who sent this man to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام were shocked because they did not expect this from Abu Jahl. So they came to him and they asked him, why did you do that? He said, he had with him a big male camel with very strong teeth. I was so afraid that if I said no, he would eat me. That's why I gave him his money. But despite that, he did not believe. Abu Jahl did not embrace Islam. لِأَنَّ الْآيَةِ مَهْمَا كَبُرَتْ لَا يُؤْمِنُ الَّذِي يَرَاهَا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ لَهُ الْإِيمَانِ. Because regardless how big is the extraordinary sign is, the blasphemer do not believe by seeing it, except if Allah willed for him to believe. هذا معنى الآية وهذا معنى الحديث. This is what the verse means and this is what the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام means. وهذا معنى كلام الطحاوي and this is what الطحاوي said. قال عقب هذا وكل شيء يجري بمشيئة الله تعالى وعلمه وقضائه وقدره. الطحاوي said after this, everything runs according to the will, knowledge, preordainment, and destining of Allah Ta'ala. Allahu mawsuf bil mashi'ati al-azaliyya. فكل ما شاءه شاء في الأزل أن يحصل لابد أن يحصل. Allah is attributed with an everlasting will, eternal and everlasting will. Whatever Allah willed to happen shall happen. كل ما قدره الله بتقديره الأزلي لابد أن يحصل. Everything that Allah preordained with his preordainment shall happen. وَكُلُّ مَا لَمْ يَشَئِ اللَّهُ حُصُولَهُ لَا يَحْصُلُ. Everything that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not will to happen shall not happen. كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ لِبْنِ عَبَّاسِ. Just as the Prophet عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ told Abdullah ibn Abbas, لو اجتمعت الأمة على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم يكتبه الله لك ما نفعوك به. If the whole nation come together and agree to benefit you with something that Allah did not will for you to benefit from, you are not going to benefit from it. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يُقَدِّرْهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ مَا ضَرُّوكَ بِهِ. And if they come together, all of them, to harm you with something that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not will for you to be harmed with, you are not going to be harmed with this issue. رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامِ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ. معناه ما في اللوح المحفوظ قد كتب انتهى. وما كتب في اللوح المحفوظ أنه يحصل لا بد أن يحصل. وما كتب في اللوح المحفوظ أنه لا يحصل لا يحصل. So everything that is written in the guarded tablet that it's going to happen will happen. Everything which is written in the guarded tablet that it's not going to happen shall not happen. والله لا يغير مشيئته. And Allah does not change His will. لا بدعاء الداعي ولا بصدقة المتصدق. If one makes dua, this does not mean that Allah changes His will because of His dua. If one gives money in charity, Allah does not change His will because of His charity. لأن التغير يحصل في المخلوقين. Because change is an attribute of the creation. وَاللَّهُ يُغَيِّرُ وَلَا يَتَغَيَّرُ. Allah changes others without being affected with change, without changing Himself. سبحانه. التغير علامة الحاجة. To change, the one who changes means it is in need for someone else. لهذا استدل إبراهيم عليه السلام بتغير النجم والقمر والشمس على أنها ليست آلهة. بين لقومه أنها لا تستحق العبادة لأنها تتغير. This is how Ibrahim عليه السلام proved to his people, his tribe, that neither the star nor the moon nor the sun deserve to be worshipped. النجم طلع ثم غاب. Ibrahim قال هذا ربي يعني أهذا الذي تزعمون أنه ربي. لما غاب قال لا أحب الآفلين. هذا يتغير من حال إلى حال. هذا محتاج. When the star appeared, Ibrahim said, is this my Lord? This is the one that you want me to worship? And later, the star disappeared. Ibrahim said, لا أحب الآفلين. يعني this is something that changes. It appears, then it disappears. It changes. And the one who changes is in need for someone who changes it and is not God. لما طلع القمر فعل مثل ذلك. لما طلعت الشمس فعل مثل ذلك. لما أيس منهم لم ير منهم بغيته وجد أنهم لا يفهمون ما يقولون لا يؤمنون تبرأ منهم. When the moon appeared, he did the same thing. When the sun appeared, he did the same thing. And when he found that they are not understanding, they are not believing in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he told them, I'm clear of your bad belief. لذلك مشيئة الله لا تتغير. That's why the Muslims say that the will of Allah does not change. كما جاء في القرآن وكما جاء في حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. As it is mentioned in Al-Quran and in the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. الله تعالى قال ما يبدل القول لدي وما أنا بظلام للعبيد. الله said ما يبدل القول لدي معناه ما قدرته أنه يحصل لا يتغير. هذا التقدير لا يتغير. ما قدرته أنه لا يحصل لا يتغير. This means whatever I decreed, yani my decree and my will do not change. ما يبدل القول لدي. This is what it means. والنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال قال الله تعالى يا محمد إني إذا قضيت أمرا فإنه لا يرد. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, Allah said, يا محمد إني إذا قضيت أمرا فإنه لا يرد. Which means, if I willed for something to happen or for something not to happen, then this is not going to change. لذلك أنبهكم من عبارة فاسدة باطلة هي ضد العقيدة الإسلامية يقولها بعض الناس. يقولون فلان كان الله يريد أن يخلقه ذكرا ثم خلقه أنثى. أو يقولون فلانة كان الله يريد أن يخلقها ذكرا ثم خلقها أنثى. هذا فيه نسبة التغير إلى الله, تغير المشيئة إلى الله, وهو ضد عقيدة المسلمين. So be aware of a statement that some people say. Sometimes they say about a man, Allah wanted to create him a woman, then he changed and he created him as a man. And sometimes they say about a woman, Allah wanted to create her as a man, and then he changed and he created her as a woman. This statement is against Al-Quran, against the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and against the Islamic creed. وبعض الناس يدعو بدعاء ليلة النصف من شعبان يقول اللهم إن كنت كتبتني عندك في أم الكتاب شقيا أو محروما اللهم فامح شقاوتي وحرماني وتقتير رزقي واكتبني عندك من السعداء إلى آخره. بعضهم يقوله ويفهم منه يعني به يا رب غير مشيئتك، هذا كفر، الذي يريد ذلك يكفر. ولعل كثيرا من الناس لا يعرفون معناه، ولعل كثيرا من الناس يقصدون غير حالي يا رب، لا يقصدون غير مشيئتك. لكن الذي يقصد بهذا الدعاء يا رب غير مشيئتك يكون كذب الدين. Also, many people in many countries at the middle of Sha'ban, the night of the 15th of Sha'ban, the eve of the 15th of Sha'ban, they make a dua in which they make a dua. Some of them might understand while they say this dua, they might mean, O Allah, if you decreed for me to be poor, to be in a bad situation, to have a bad ending, change that and give me well-being, let me be a good person and give me a good ending. Anyone who says this dua with this meaning by that, O Allah, change your will, is committing blasphemy, wal-iyazu billahi ta'ala, because he is attributing change to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Maybe many of them, they say it and they understand from it, O Allah, change my situation. If I am doing bad deeds, change my situation to become a good situation. But if anyone says it, and this dua, by the way, is not confirmed from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but many people say it. If the one who says it with the meaning, O Allah, change your will, then this would be blasphemy. May Allah protect us from that. نقف هنا. Let us stop here for now. والله تعالى أعلم. إن كان لأحد سؤال فليتفضل. If you have any questions, please go ahead and ask. تفضل. I didn't hear you. Sorry. الله يبارك فيكم. Please let me. يعني you need to hear the question also, I think. Ah, yeah. سبحان الله. I forgot. The next class, inshallah. Well, I forgot. Inshallah, at the beginning, I'll start with it. Remind me, Allah yukrimukum. Naam, go ahead. What does that mean? Yeah, but what does that mean? You should have. What does that mean? If they mean, it depends on what they mean by that. If they mean it's not wise for Allah to create you, as I don't think they mean that, but if they mean that, then this would be blasphemy. لم Yes, everything is written, and despite that we make dua and we give charity because we get reward by that. And making dua, giving charity, etc., are reasons for us to get things that we want. Many times the person is protected from certain harms because of giving charity. The person gets what he wants because of a dua. These are means to get what you want. And you don't get except what Allah willed for you to get. This is similar to something else. Why do you eat? Why do you eat? To get full. If Allah willed for you, you don't say, if Allah willed for me to get full, I will get full, okay, I will not eat then. But these are reasons, means. Allah willed for you to eat and to get full. Likewise, Allah willed for some people to make dua and to get what they want because of this dua. Just as you get full because of this food. For sure, you get full because Allah willed for you to get full. And you get what this issue because of the dua. Allah willed for you to get it. But these are means. The dua is a mean to get what you want. The paying charity is a mean to get what you want. Both of them, if you do them with the proper intention, you will get reward for it. So you will benefit from that. But this does not mean that Allah changes His will. One of the people who killed Al-Husayn radiyallahu anhu, who took part in fighting him, Al-Husayn made dua against him because he tried to prevent him from drinking water when he was thirsty. So Al-Husayn made dua at that moment against him that he wouldn't be quenched. Later, he used to tell his family, his people, I am thirsty, give me something to drink. They would give him water to drink. And he would keep saying, I'm thirsty. Then they would get him milk to drink. And he would keep saying, I'm thirsty. Until his stomach was pursed and he died without feeling quenched, although he drank a lot, because everything happens according to the will of Allah. Drinking does not create the quenching. Drinking is a reason. The creator is Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Food does not create to feel full. Food is a reason. Allah is the creator. And likewise, dua is a reason. But the creator is Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Just as you do not leave out eating and say Allah is the creator, and you do not leave out drinking and say Allah is the creator, don't leave out making dua, even though Allah is the creator. These are means for one to get reward and to get what one wants. Now, بدأ أكثر من هالعشر دقائق لبقين عنا يا آدم إن شاء الله. Do you have any other questions? In Syria, I forgot the details of this story. Okay, I will not say it. Long time ago, there was a woman, you know her story, Rahma bint Ibrahim. This woman, her husband died as a martyr. Their town was attacked by some blasphemers, a ruler close to them, and they defended themselves. Many of them were killed. Among them was her husband. He was a man who who didn't have extra money. He provided his family with what they need day by day. He died in that battle, and they carried him to his wife. She was sad, of course, just as a young wife would be sad when her young husband dies. Then the Maghrib prayer, the time of the prayer came in. So this did not prevent her from praying as she should pray. So she prayed Al-Maghrib. And after praying Al-Maghrib, she was so tired, she fell asleep. In her dream, she saw a very nice place with people sitting in circles eating. She started searching for her husband. Is he with them? And she saw, she didn't find him, he saw her. So he called her, Ya Rahma. She came to him. She said they were eating something. I know it is bread, but it's not like the bread that I know. It's much more delicious and much more nicer than the bread that we know. He asked the permission of his partners to give her one bite. He told them, this poor woman did not eat anything since the morning. So they told him, yes, he gave her one bite. She ate that bite and then she woke up. She woke up. And she found herself not in need to eat nor to drink. After that, she never ate. Never. Or drank. To a point that her stomach became stuck to her back. Nothing entered here for years and years. More than 20 years. She did not eat anything. And the people used to visit her, ask her about her situation. The rulers, every time when a new ruler came to that area, he would hear about her story. He would bring her, put her in a house, lock her in, because he wanted to be sure that she is not faking. Put people to watch her, and she stays there without eating or drinking until she was famous by that. To a point that some knowledgeable people, some scholars, would travel to meet her, just to meet her and hear her story from her. One of them, he had a woman with him, and he told the woman that was with him, check for her stomach. Is it really sticking to her back? She did. She told him, yes. She put here like cotton and other things and wrapped it, tightened it to help herself to stay straight. And she didn't eat for more than 20 years. Allah does whatever Allah willed. Yes, food is a reason to get full, What the creator is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Once Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, who was a very mean and unjust ruler during the Umayyad rulership, he wanted to kill a pious person and to kill him in a severe way. So he wanted to kill him out of hunger and thirst. So he put him in a room that didn't have any windows. And after putting him in the room, he blocked the door. He built bricks, yani. And he put up a wall at the door. And he left this man inside. After 14 or 15 days, they broke in. He ordered them. He wanted to see what happened. And they found this man praying. Nothing occurred to him. Nothing. So he let him go. Yeah. Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Nu'm, his name. He is a very famous one among the followers of the companions. Allah does whatever He willed. He is the creator. Barakallahu feekum. Nuhallil. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. And sometimes he is called عبد الرحمن بن أنعم. So it's the same man. Just his name, there are differences. Yeah, spelling of his name. بارك الله فيكم.